At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 390. Y'all, I got some shit to say.
Oh, Lord.
No, not really. But, okay. Back on the whole, like, fuck the medical establishment bullshit, like the other, like the past couple episodes, did y'all see that viral TikTok?
Yes.
Fuck all those people. Okay, if you don't know what we're talking about. There was this, well, I've seen a bunch of different things. I saw it was a gynecology office. I saw it was an immediate care, like an urgent care. I've seen a bunch of different places.
I saw gynecology.
Okay, well, I also saw an article that was like employees of an urgent care. So basically, these pieces of shit made TikToks of themselves standing in rooms after women had left and like the discharge left on the, what's it called, paper. They like made videos with it.
Yeah, that's one, gross.
But like shaming, yeah, shaming women's them, natural bodies.
But also, like, if it is a gynecology appointment, they have shit that they put up in you and stuff.
Exactly.
You know? So it's like, yeah, that's like when you get an ultrasound done. Half the time I have shit like on my sides, on everything.
It's like, first of all, people hate going to the doctor because of just biases and all the things. But to go somewhere where you, a gynecologist, where you have to talk about like the most intimate things in your life, your sex life, having a baby, not having a baby, wanting a baby, not being able to have a baby, not wanting a baby, but having a baby, you know, having cancer, having had cancer and you're scared is it coming back, having an infection, having just your yearly, this is going to suck moment. You know, just the most intimate things at the place that you should be able to trust someone, and for them to have violated that, and they all got fired.
Yeah, as they should. But also, it's like, you're saying this is gross, but then what you're doing is like, you're all standing around this quote unquote gross thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I just, who thought that was a good idea?
And then who, like, there was like eight other people that clearly like co-signed on it. Like,
I
what
know.
In the actual fuck?
So stupid. But you know what? Let the stupid people show themselves out.
It's literally Darwin at the best.
Yeah. Yeah, that annoyed me too. Because also, those people probably paid out the fucking wazoo to go to the fucking doctor.
Right.
You know, like, shit. Tell me you have money problems without telling me you have money problems.
That was the most, like,
Patricia thing ever?
No, like, I don't know. It just made me giggle because you were like, shit.
Well, shit. Patricia's her mom.
She goes, well, shit. But that's not what I was saying. You sounded like, you were like, not really saying anything. Just like,
I know.
Shit, you know?
Ugh, it just aggravates me.
Also, I saw another TikTok that pissed me the fuck off. It was a mama showing her, like, middle school, maybe early high school daughter cheerleading. And the girl was plus size. And the comments were like, things have clearly changed.
Well, me and Carrie were cheerleaders, so obviously not.
Did I have to go to a special building, aka the ISS building, to be measured for my cheerleading little skirt because they didn't have my size to try on a thing? Sure did.
Like, but you know, ugh. Also, grow up. Like, this is a girl, like a little
child.
Girl.
Yes, a child.
Her body that you're commenting on. So, you know what that tells me? Pedophile.
Or insecure, but okay.
No, like, if you're commenting on a fucking child online and stuff, why are you studying her so much?
That's true. I mean, I'm just trying not to get us sued, but okay.
Well, I'm just saying. Look, I don't feel good.
Well, we are just something today.
Oh, my God. But have you watched the other thing? This isn't a TikTok, but there's probably been a lot of TikToks about it.
The unknown number thing?
Yes. Have you watched it?
Of course. Okay. I watched it before you, actually.
You did not? I asked you, and you said you hadn't.
Oh.
The look on her face. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
I really thought I had. I really watched that one so fast. I was very proud of myself.
Yeah. No, me and Margarita watched it at the same time because I saw her, and I was like, I just watched it. And then I was like, hey, have you watched this? And you're like, no, but we're going to. And then went to cut me with her eyes thinking that I was lying.
I didn't think you were lying. I just think you were wrong.
Y'all, that was wild.
But here's the thing is that there's so many TikToks like giving it away. And I mean, I guess technically it's like already said and done. So they're really not giving it away. But the thing really did kind of give you like a moment of who the person was.
Yeah. Yeah, because I did not know, but then I'm glad I watched it when I did.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it yet and you have any social media, you already know.
I just don't understand how anyone could be so fucking hateful.
What we're talking about, it's on Netflix. It's called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. And basically, it's this unknown number that texts this girl, like this teenage girl and her boyfriend, saying some really terrible things like, about, like, you're so ugly, like, you should hurt yourself, you know, just some really terrible things. And then you find out who it is.
Well, also, I think it started, like, in seventh grade. Like, and I know they're teens, but they're not teens. Like, seventh grade is so young. It's not the same as going, like, high school.
I don't know that it started that young, but maybe it did.
Oh.
It may have. I'm not sure.
Or maybe they just started dating then.
Yeah. But if you haven't watched it, you should because it's good. Also, have you started watching The New Wednesday?
No. Okay, so no, we are watching Terminal List, The Dark Wolf.
Yep, that's on our to-do too.
But it's so good. But then, yeah, I learned from Lindsay that Wednesday was here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, what? Like, yeah. There's not enough hours in the day. Who am I, Carrie? There's not enough hours in the day for me to keep up.
You know what you should know? I've already watched two of the episodes. There's only two more.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I don't know who I am being so caught up on these things.
Right?
But last night, I was like, I'm not doing anything. And so we watched two episodes of Wednesday. You know, it was just
same.
Like, I am turning off and we are just going to chill.
That was me last night, too. Also, I didn't feel good. So it made it even better to just be like, no, I want to just be on the couch. Let's watch TV. Now, the show, that Terminal List is what we were watching, and it's, like, about war and stuff, and so that makes my stomach hurt, too. And this is going to sound so stupid, but I'm just like, God, that really happens. That's real. You know, like, the war.
Yeah.
Like, it's real.
Yeah, that's true. We are getting closer and closer to the cruise. You know that you've probably heard us say it a billion times because we are so excited. We are like, yesterday was 2 months away.
Holy shit.
Cannot freaking wait. So if you want to head on this cruise with us and other podcasters, head over to crimewaveatsea.com/creep and put your information in. It'll give you your fan code so it can give you all the information about the ship and what's going on and all the podcasters, all the things.
And we already know there's some creepsters who are going. And I will tell you, like, if you are thinking about it and you're like, well, I don't want to be alone. With the creepsters, you're not going to be. We're all a big family.
Y'all, life is lifing right now. And my Miracle Made sheets are my happy place right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was washing them so they weren't on the bed. And I was like, our sheets are done. And it really makes a whole difference of how you can sleep. Like, it really is a freaking miracle because you don't sweat through the night. And that's because they're inspired by NASA.
So they're smart.
Now, they don't make you smarter, but they don't make you hotter.
Yes, like Donna said, they are inspired by NASA. And what we mean by that is that they are silver-infused fabrics that are temperature regulating. So no hot girl summer or cold case winter. You are sleeping at the perfect temperature all night long.
And even though my sheets were being washed, they don't have to be washed like the regular ones on that same time frame because they are self-cleaning and antibacterial. So they prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth.
Which literally my sheets need to be washed right now. And I'm like, it's the Miracle Made ones. I can push them back a little bit longer because, again, like Donna said, preventing 99.7% of bacterial growth. So that means less acne, fewer allergies, no weird smells, and, well, I can not launder them. And I could put off putting them in the wash.
They really are that five-star hotel vibe without the price tag. It doesn't matter what you wear to bed, you're going to feel fancy in these sheets.
Well, and you're not having to bundle up because, again, it doesn't matter what you wear because you don't have to wear sweats because you're freezing and you don't have to wear nothing because you're hot. Because they are temperature regulating. So upgrade your sleep as this weather can't decide if it wants to be hot or cold by going to trymiracle.com/creep for 40% off. And if you use the promo code creep at checkout, you're going to get a free 3-piece towel set and save an extra 20% off.
Miracle Made is so confident in their product, and we are too. It's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
My sister just ordered some and she was like, and I got the towels too. So head on to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code creep at checkout to save over 40% and get a free 3-piece towel set.
And then save that extra 20% too. So thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode and for making us feel clean, cool, and just the right amount of cozy.
Okay, so my story this week, you may have heard of. I hope not, because I hate when she knows my story. But I'm talking about Annie Lay. So she was born in California in 1985, and she grew up in a really close Vietnamese-American family. And from the jump, people knew that Annie was smart. Like in high school, she was not only voted most likely to be the next Einstein, she was the freaking valedictorian of her class.
Ooh.
That was weird.
Well, it's how you said, not only was she voted to be the next Einstein, she was a valedictorian of her class.
Well, because she was.
No, it was just how you said it.
She's smart. Unlike us. Y'all should hear the bloopers. Because she was so smart and the valedictorian, she got a scholarship to go to the University of Rochester in New York. It was a $160,000 scholarship.
Holy shit.
That would help me with my student loans a lot.
Yeah, but I bet that, was that like per year or was that the whole thing?
Probably the whole thing.
Because I feel like that's an expensive one.
So while she was in Rochester, that's where she met Jonathan Wodawoski. And I'm hoping I'm saying his name correctly because we love him. So he went to the school too. And those two fell in love like head over heels, like the perfect match. So throughout college, the two dated, and spoiler alert, they ended up getting engaged. But they kind of had to do long distance for a little while because Annie, smart Annie, got into Yale into their PhD program in pharmacology.
Sheesh.
Yeah, because everything was like, she's getting her doctorate in pharmacology. And at first, I was like, oh, so she's like in their PharmD program, which is still like freaking amazing. Pharmacists. Just being able to pronounce all those freaking drugs is like amazing. Real. I mean, onomatopoeia, like that's all I know. You know, I know hydrochlorothiazide because Donna had to ask one of her cousins, well, now wives, who was in pharmacy school to be like, how you say this?
Yeah, how do you say this?
But this was a PhD in pharmacology. So she's the one that's like making and testing drugs and doing all like the like super smart shit.
Yeah. I wish I was just like an ounce of that smart.
She has more like intelligence in her pinky finger than I cannot even imagine the stuff that she was working on.
No, I was trying to do math literally on my calculator and using my fingers, like trying to keep up with something. And a coworker was standing by me and scared me to death. And I was like, crap, now I gotta start all over. This girl, Annie, she probably could do that in her sleep.
She probably, her brain is constantly like that gif of the math over the head of the girl. Like, she just does that.
Ugh.
So like I said, Annie and Jonathan are engaged and their wedding is set for September 13th of 2009. So she's going to school in Connecticut at Yale and Jonathan is still in New York. It's only like a couple of hours away. So it's not like they're like across the country. They can still kind of meet in the middle sometimes.
I was going to say, because I feel like some people live in Connecticut and right. they work in the city being New York City.
So while at Yale, Annie lived in a house with some roommates. Because she's a PhD student, she's working in the biomedical research lab. And she was studying the effects of like all these different drugs on mice.
That breaks my heart.
Well, the building that she was in was like super secured. Like you had to use your key card to not only get in the building, but it also to access rooms, majority of the rooms, because again, they're testing like some serious stuff. So, you know, they got to guard your secrets kind of thing.
Yeah. I've seen this on TV. So I'm not smart enough to ever go in this building, but I've seen this. Mostly on like Nutty Professor.
And also with all of these experiments, there's such specific protocols that have to be followed. So you've got to make sure temperatures are right in rooms. You've got to make sure, you know, like literally so many things that I'm too dumb to even explain. So, of course, it's going to be heavily secure.
Yeah. What's that called when that's the like constant? And then there's variables, but like the constant.
Control.
The control. Yeah. I would never have one of those in my experiments because I can't control anything. I'd be like, did I have this on 87 or 25? I don't know. Is it Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Okay. So on the morning of September 8th of 2009, so this is literally like 5 days before her wedding, Annie leaves her, which a bunch of stuff says apartment, but the picture I saw, it was like a house that her and I think five other girls shared. Anyway, she leaves her place and she goes first to like her office. And then from there, she goes into the research lab. And we have like bloop, bloop, all the key card action of her doing that. But that night, Annie was supposed to hang out with her roommates and she didn't show. And so at 9 o'clock, her roommates are like, okay, like Annie is a researcher, very meticulous, like, if she says she's going to do something by a certain time, she's going to do it. And so they were really worried about her. So they actually called the police. Now, police kind of weren't super helpful at the beginning because they were like, oh, she probably just got cold feet because she's getting married in 5 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. But her friends, who then, you know, of course, called her family, who also called her fiance, were like, no, this, she was like super into this. This was a huge deal for her. She would not have just walked away from her life. But also in her office, they found her phone, her wallet, her keys. Like,
yeah, even if she was not all about the wedding, she'd be all about those stuff because she needed it.
Those stuff.
Like I said, I'm not smart like Annie. Also, all I can think about is Annie, get your gun every time you say your name.
So Annie going missing is a huge deal because, like I said, she is in this very secure building. So it's like, what happened to her? So police, of course, start going through like, okay, let's see where her key card was last used and all of that. And it was last used in one of the places you do research. Labs, those things.
Oh my gosh.
And so they start combing through the security footage, but they have like 700 hours of security footage to watch.
Oh, fuck.
But because there's like 70 cameras too. So there's like, you know, every angle you can imagine. And on the security cameras, they see her coming in. She has like a green shirt on with like a brown skirt. It's an outfit you would recognize too if you're kind of quickly trying to watch people come and go.
Well, it sounds like a Girl Scout. So yeah.
It does. Oh, that's funny.
I know this isn't the case. I mean, I don't know this story at all, so you should be happy about that. But just because it's research and experiments and she's gone missing, all I think about is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No.
Okay.
So it takes police days of looking through the footage and searching the building to see if they can find what happened to Annie. Because, again, there's literally no footage of her leaving the building. Well, as they're looking, they end up like moving ceiling tiles and stuff like that, just trying to find literally anything. And in some ceiling tiles, they find some clothes that had been hidden that had blood on them.
What the actual fuck?
So Yale actually puts up a $10,000 reward because they're also like, fuck, because this is a really secure building. So does that mean it was another student, an employee? Like, did someone get in here that wasn't supposed to be in here? You know, they're kind of in cover your ass mode.
Yeah. But also, like, I don't think about the ceiling as somewhere to hide stuff. Like, I'd be like, where on the ground can I do something?
Well, Annie's fiance comes in and police, like, talk to him. Because, of course, you know, you always look at the people closest to someone. But he had an alibi and, like, was literally states away. The FBI gets involved, the Connecticut State Police and the local police, and they're looking through dumpsters. They're looking through on vacant lots. They're looking literally like where the trash is taken from the university. Like they're literally looking anywhere because they can't find Annie. But they do find some blood stains in a bathroom that they were like, okay, this clearly looks like somebody had cleaned this up. And they also find a piece of Annie's necklace. The other thing that happened that day that was super, super weird was there was a fire alarm that went off. So, like, everybody left the building. But they can't find Annie leaving the building with this fire alarm.
So, they're thinking that someone pulled the fire alarm to get out of the building unnoticed?
They don't know. After 5 days, they still do not know what happened to Annie. And it seems like, well, I think this part I heard on Ivy League Murders. I never actually saw it on Ivy League Murders podcast.
No, what you said.
They had brought a cadaver dog in and the cadaver dog like hit this spot, but also saw some stuff that made it seem like it was kind of a luck of a draw where they noticed this spot. But you know how you'll have like these access panels to be able to like get to
like the vents?
No, like to be able to get to like pipes and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of like a almost what I'm picturing, almost the size of like a circuit breaker.
Okay, yeah.
Well, they open that and right behind some like insulation that was just like pushed in there, they see a foot.
Oh, my gosh.
And Annie's body had been like contorted and stuffed in this tiny, tiny space.
Oh.
Now, Annie herself was tiny. She was like 4'11 and about 90 pounds. I literally, when I heard this, I want to say this was on the Ivy League Murders podcast. I mean, I gasped at how.
Yeah.
On that, they said it was like, think of like a computer monitor size.
Holy fuck.
Yes. Like, I literally was like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
She was found on what would have been her wedding day.
Oh, my gosh.
So the medical exam said that she had been strangled. Her jaw and her collarbone were broken before she died.
Oh.
And she was found with like her clothing, like her bra was up and stuff like that. And they found semen on her and evidence of sexual assault.
God, like, are you kidding me?
So now they do know that she did never leave, you know, the building. And so it's like, okay, it had to be someone that was in this building.
Yeah.
And so they're looking and there's this one guy that works there that just has some pretty erratic key card swipes, like in and out of rooms like 50 times. It's just some weird shit, right?
Though I feel like that would be you if you worked there and had to do a key card because Carrie would be like, wait, did I do this? Let me go back. Bleep, bloop, bloop. Go in here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Bleep, bloop, bloop.
You're not wrong. So at this lab, they had lab technicians that were employed by the university. And they were actually a really big part of this because they helped to make sure that the experiments ran the way they were supposed to. So they're the ones that kept the temperatures right. They're the ones that cleaned the cages. They're the ones that, you know, kind of advocated and took care of the animals. They're the ones that would have to euthanize the animals. They were like a really big part of this. But you can imagine that there was probably some issues between the lab techs and then the students who were part of and running the experiments,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a lab tech named Raymond Clark III. So he was a 24-year-old, and he's the one that had the weird, like, erratic kind of key card access things. So you got a guy who's about the same age as all of the PhD students that he's kind of under, but he's an employee and they're rotating out, you know. And like I said, it did lead to some issues because if the students, if the PhD students weren't doing stuff that they had to do, the lab techs would have to email them and be like, hey, you didn't lock the cage. Hey, you didn't blah, 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 blah. You know, because again, these protocols were so very strict. And Raymond Clark III had a reputation for being a stickler to these rules. And sometimes, not altercations, but like, I don't think people really liked him because he was, it seems, hard on the students. But I mean, also on the flip side, well, we're trying to cure cancer over here. So can you close the fucking cage?
Right, right.
Can you like not leave your beakers laying around? You know, shit like that.
Also, it is his job too.
Exactly.
Like, so.
We do know that the day that Annie had disappeared, he had emailed her about leaving some of the cages dirty. And the other thing is that he changed clothes like 3 times that day. So it's like, why is he changing clothes?
Right.
And then
who has clothes to change?
Well, I think this part was on Let's Go to Court, where they said that he like played intramurals there with the students. And so he could have had it because he was doing like intramural stuff. It's just weird. Like, why are you changing clothes, though, in the middle of the day, like 3 times, you know?
Because also with that, I feel like if he would have like dropped something on him, he would have had to specify that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like in the experiment and stuff.
And in all of the stories, it just kind of jumps from there. And it's like, okay, here's this stuff about Raymond Clark III and some kind of oddities. And then it all just jumps to like the police pulled him in for questioning. And, you know, they start asking him about where he was, all the things. And he was cooperative. He even took a polygraph that he failed. And then after that, he lawyers up, right? And then they end up getting some DNA from him. And the whole time, his family, he's got a girlfriend, they're all standing by his side. But we find out that he didn't have a criminal record, but that he had this girlfriend in high school that I think she was actually on Good Morning America when she said this, but she came out and said that he was super controlling, super angry when she tried to break up with him, and that she had actually filed a police report because she said that after they broke up, he like raped her. Well, she said forced her to have sex. So he raped her.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And that she would need people to like walk her to her car for weeks, but she never pressed charges. So this is like, okay, well, if this is true, which duh, then this is clearly a pattern of hurting women and
not taking no for an answer.
Right. The long of the short of it is the DNA came back and it matched Raymond Clark.
The third.
Yes. So he ends up taking a plea deal. In 2011, like that's how long this whole thing took because God. The murder happened in 2009. So just to tell you, the fucking wheels of justice are slow, right? Well, this motherfucker pled guilty to the murder, but an Alford plea to the sexual assault.
Oh my God.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? So if you don't know what an Alford plea is, basically that's being like, okay, cool. You'll have enough evidence that you could probably most likely get a conviction. So, but like, I'm not going to tell you I did it, but I do recognize that you have enough evidence to convict me of it, but I'm not saying I did it, but I'm not saying I didn't do it, but I'm not saying I did it. And that's what an Alfred plea is. So it's like, what a big, like, fuck you, I feel like, to her family to be like, I'm not going to take the Alfred plea. And I think that this was his way of, like, saving face with his family, too, because his family, like, when the victim impact statements, like, his dad is like, this is not the son we raised. Like, we have no idea who this is. Like, you know, really distraught because this he had a normal upbringing. Like, he was, like, a football and baseball star in high school and, like, just not, I mean, not that you, I mean, people can be murderers and do those things, but he just had such a very typical upbringing. And it's like, other than the alleged sexual assault of his high school girlfriend, but, you know, it seems like the family was kind of blindsided by this too. And so I think that was him not wanting to admit to his family that he had sexually assaulted her.
See, I feel like it's more him being like, oh, I didn't have to rape her. Like, we had sex and then, like, I accidentally murdered her.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? See that.
Like,
how I can see
it's
that.
Like, oh, well, I didn't have to rape her, though.
I can see that. Well, he was sentenced to 44 years in prison, and he'll be upwards of 70 when he's released. Now, this, of course, brought a lot of questions to Yale about, like, okay, well, what are your hiring practices and what are you doing to keep our kids safe that are attending this university, et cetera? Because Yale didn't have background checks for, like, all of the employees. But here's the thing is that even if they did, the third would have been able to be hired because he didn't have a criminal background. So it's right. Like, yes, while they need to be doing background checks on people at this university, like any state thing, you need to be doing background checks. Yeah. But I mean, even if they had done a background check on him, he would have passed. So that would not have stopped what happened to Annie from happening. But listen to this. This is like, are you fucking kidding me? Annie had written an article for Yale Magazine, like, earlier that year about how to stay safe in New Haven. Isn't that so, like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow. It just shows that you're not safe anywhere.
No. Well, her family filed a wrongful death suit against Yale, saying that they didn't do enough to protect her because they were like, there's blind spots with it, where some of the cameras were. Again, the no background checks and all of that. And then in 2016, the case was settled for like $3 million. We know the amount, but we don't know all the details.
Yeah.
But it seems like Yale really did make some changes in, like, background checks and all of that. But, I mean, the place that she was supposed to be the safest, like, you literally can't go in rooms without having a carded access to.
Right.
And she was brutally murdered.
Yeah.
And the thing, too, is that we don't really know why.
I literally was about to say that. Like, I hate that when he didn't have to say why he did it or any of that. Like, no, why? Just because you wanted to have sex with her and she didn't want it?
I don't know that it was even that. Like, I think it was more his position as the lab tech. And, like, he's there. He's the employee. And he's having to watch these kids that are his age in college and trying to keep them in line. And they're potentially, I'm sure all of them are not, but these, like, really smart kids, you know, that are probably have money because if they're able to afford Yale, they probably have money or can be on scholarship. But let's be real, you know, a lot of people there tend to come for money. And he's just an average guy that's having to, like, clean up these cages and do all of this. And I think he was just bitter and angry. And I think that it was just, I don't know if it was wrong place, wrong time. I don't know if it was a control thing. And
yeah, I think you're right. Like, the control thing, like, I told you, you better shut the fucking cage.
Right.
And, you know, you haven't done it. And then.
And she was a spitfire and probably turned around and was like, fuck you, motherfucker. Or so, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the rape was a power play.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad there were changes that came out of that. I just hate that something bad and tragic has to happen before changes are made.
Yeah. Lots of podcasts covered this. And this was also on a show on Oxygen called A Wedding and a Murder.
You know what I just thought of, too? Like, fuck him, because what could Annie have done? You know what I mean? Like, by this time, right now, what would she have discovered? What would she have, like, been a part of?
I know. And yes. Yes, she just had so much potential. And not that anybody deserves to die or anybody's more worthy than someone else. But yes, there's just was so much potential that was taken from our world. And her poor family and her poor fiance and her just like we say all the time, the domino effect of people that were affected by her murder.
Well, like you said, too, his family, his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Who all stood by his side because they were like, there's no way he did this. But he did.
Okay, so this week I'm doing a recommendation from Morgan N, who is one of our moderators and OG creepster. So it kind of fits in with the quirky things that I've been doing, like the Aspermancer and, you know, things like that. But then how all things I think are going to be light and funny, it turns into more dark and sad. But we're going to start off being quirky. And I had never heard about this before. Have you heard of a whale named Hvaldimir?
Like a whale or like a Tommy stuck in the whale?
A whale.
No.
Okay, because it does sound like something out of a Pixar movie or yes. Something like that. Hvaldimir was very much real. And yeah, okay, let's just get into it. So before we dive into...
Let's get into it, but before...
Well, like, we just got to get into it. Like, because if I set it up too much, you're going to know everything. And I don't want to be a preview that tells you the whole fucking movie.
Hate those.
And then it's like, now... Oh, also... I get that sometimes people don't binge a TV show, but you know what I hate is when it's like this season on
yes.
whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch the next episode right now. So I don't need to see the whole fucking season. Like,
right. Well, ugh. Even if I don't watch the next episode right now, also it sounded like you said right meow. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I want to mindlessly watch and have nothing tell me what's coming.
Yeah. Like, oh, I hate that. Anyway. So I'm not going to do that. But okay, I said dive into it, you know. It's a whale. Mm. anyway, it's not just any whale. It's a beluga whale. And I didn't know all of this about beluga whales.
Duh. I mean, are you a fucking marine biologist? Of course you didn't.
God, I wanted to be when I was a kid. What a turn of events.
You can't even do the ocean on Mario Kart.
No. And that is something that Chris does not understand. He's like, ooh, you want to watch XYZ? And I'm like, no, it's underwater. The water scares me. And especially like the Meg he was trying to watch. I'm like, just the title card where it has the big like mouth of the like shark or whatever it is. It scares me. Like I have to go bloop, 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 bloop.
The what he was trying to watch?
The Meg.
What the fuck is that?
Something with the thing. And there,
oh, that's
then,
the name of it?
Yeah, and then there's the Meg 2. And I'm like, also don't want that. But it's just like, Shark Week is my nemesis because it's always pictures of those sharks. But little Donna really wanted to be a marine biologist. So I guess I'm going to channel inner little Donna and tell y'all all about it. So belugas are known as the canaries of the sea because they can make so many different vocalizations. They could do the clicks. They could do the whistles and chirps. I just thought they did the that kind of thing.
Isn't that a dolphin?
Oh. Well, I said I wasn't a marine biologist.
I mean, I don't know. I almost failed out of biology. That's why I couldn't become a doctor.
Now, something I like about them is that they're very social and they travel in pods and they love to play. Like, they play with everything. And something that they find very entertaining, which I would too, they blow bubble rings for fun out of their little hole.
Okay, that's cute.
Right? They can also mimic human speech sounds. Like, they can't talk like a parrot or anything. They can do, like, some... I kind of feel like it would be a ventriloquist. You know how, like, you could hear something different in their voice?
Yeah.
Like that. So super smart, super friendly, super fun, super cute.
Super, super, super.
Very super. Now, you know they're super friendly. You know all of this. But imagine this cute little beluga whale coming up and he's wearing a harness, like a GoPro mount. And it's like he pops up out of the water with this GoPro mount and he's just looking for like a snack and a friend, maybe a little selfie. Well, this is Hvaldimir. So it was April 2019 in northern Norway. And it was some fishermen, because isn't it always fishermen or like hunters
or runners or hikers? Or
they always find the stuff. But the fishermen were on the water and they noticed this beluga whale, and he was acting more friendlier than normal. He approached their boats. You know, he was sticking really close and he was letting them pet him. And not just for like a second. He was just like, oh yeah, a little to the left, a little to the right, right there. That feels great. And that's when they spotted the harness. And they were like, what the actual fuck? Let me see what's going on. So it had clips and they took it off. And on the side, it had equipment, St. Petersburg.
Florida?
Russia.
Oh. Well, that's funny because I was like, I feel like there's another one, but this, I can't think of what it is.
Joke's on me. It was actually Florida. No, I don't know. But it just reminded me of Finding Nemo on the Wallaby Way or whatever.
P. Sherman 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney?
Yeah, that. Apparently, I don't remember it that much. I'm Dory. You're Nemo. But just like it had it on there. And so they're like, well, that's kind of weird. Why would you be here? Why would you have this? Like, I don't know. So the researchers came out. They were just like, okay, he's clearly been trained by humans because he didn't act wild. And he, when they like looked at him, he didn't really know how to socialize with other whales. He stuck to humans like glue. But he was with the people way too much. It's like, okay, yeah, belugas are friendly and all, but then they're like Carrie. Hey, 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 pet me, pet me, pet me, play with my hair, tell me I'm pretty. But then also, I'm tired, I'm going to go do my thing, I'm going to have some alone time, whatever. But this beluga was staying right there. And because he acted like he had been taught so many different things, and he seemed to be very, very smart, I want to say well-mannered, but they started throwing out like, St. Petersburg, Russia? Like, why did this beluga have a fucking GoPro mount on him? Like, what happened? So then people started throwing around the idea he might be a spy whale.
This is not my surprise face, because I would not put it past Russia.
Right. Well, if you did, you would be wrong, because their Navy has a history of training marine mammals for different tasks, not necessarily to be spies, but like search and rescue, mine detection, but even some espionage.
That's literally playing the long game. Like, right? Can you imagine how long it fucking takes to train these animals?
Oh, gosh. But also back in the Cold War, both the Soviet Union and the U.S., we're deep into using animals for military ops. So our Navy had a program out of San Diego that trained dolphins and sea lions to detect underwater mines and recover equipment. Now, Russia, on the other hand, has been doing similar stuff, and they've trained belugas, seals, and dolphins. And in 2017, Russia even published documents showing a bid for a contract to buy 5 bottlenose dolphins. And in 2019, literally the same year that Hvaldimir appeared, there was a report that came out about Russian military exercises involving belugas. So it's like, yeah, that sounds silly, like a spy whale. That sounds like something that would be a Disney movie, Shark Boy, Lava Girl.
No, I 1000% believe that.
Yeah, but it's like, oh shit, like everything's adding up, right?
Also, who named this whale?
It was people online. So people had like could choose, like could vote and stuff. They used it because Hval is the Norwegian word for whale. That's hard to say.
Holy Norwegian word for whale. Wow. That was a lot. www.donnahasaspeechimpediment.com.
I mean, no lies she detected. Did. I really do.
She did go to speech.
And then Vladimir, like Putin, so Hvaldimir. So it was like a little cheeky thing, but there were a lot of good ones. I just didn't write them down. I don't know why I didn't think you would ask, but here we are. You, of course, ask a Donna question, and I wasn't prepared. What I will say is that there was satellite images that showed enclosures for belugas and seals near the military base in the Arctic. So again, it's not far-fetched. And I know you said it's not, but like, for reals, for reals.
There's literally nothing you could tell me on the planet that the Russian government did that would surprise me.
Very true.
Other than like, be nice.
Okay.
I mean, that would surprise me.
No, but be nice. Anyway, so of course, this became a news sensation. Hvaldimir was everywhere. And this is where it takes a turn. So like, yeah, it's weird that could he be a spy? Could he not be a spy? Like, but also just picture the TikToks that we see all the time. It's like of these seals getting up on like a canoe with someone and all that. And it's like, oh my God, this is what was happening because he loved people. And it was all adorable until it wasn't. So Hvaldimir wasn't just friendly. He seemed to be dependent, which I can understand, like dependent for affection. And he didn't know how to survive on his own.
I was going to say, that's more sad to me than sweet because they literally set him up for failure to die in the wild, like because he couldn't take care of himself.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I meant. This is where it turns, like it was sweet. He like cute little photos and videos. But then when you peel it back, it's like, no, like he's too dependent. He didn't know how to catch fish. He had to be taught. He couldn't communicate with other belugas because he's never been around them. And like, he was like a man-made whale, basically.
Yeah.
Now, at first, he stayed around the northern coast of Norway. Again, hanging by the fish farms, getting some fish, doing all the things. And the people there would feed him, like all the workers would feed him. So he didn't have to fish either. But then because he started interfering with like the lines, he was stealing fish. Then sometimes he was scaring workers. Like it became kind of a nuisance to people. You know, cute to me, nuisance to the people who had to work there and like be productive and all of this. But that's when some volunteer groups stepped in and there was this one group that was created to protect him, and it's called One Whale. Now, they tried to set up like an environment where he could be slowly reintroduced to something for him to have more of a typical beluga life, you know, and there was even talks of if he could grow to be more like a beluga, he could get placed into a beluga sanctuary. But it was going to take a lot of time and a lot of patience. And something that they had, but also they're trying to let him live his life, too. Now, Hvaldimir loved people to a fault, and he would follow boats for miles. He would play with kids. You know, and like I said, he would gently just, like, nudge some swimmers. And one time, a lady who would, this would totally be Carrie, she dropped her phone in the water, and he was like, hold on, went down, retrieved the phone, and gave it back to her.
It's a good whale.
Right? I think he also did that with a GoPro and stuff. So, like, you know, like, he just was helpful. But also, it's like, damn, he was trained for this.
But also, who spent all this time and money training him for him to just go away?
Right. Well, then it became dangerous. Like most things, people take it too far. And they were not only just like being in the boats and like, oh, there he is. They would get in the water. They would grab his fin and they would try to ride him like, you know, like a fucking Disney movie. Some people even fed him like hot dogs. Like, you know, he's not a stray dog kind of thing. And they were just doing whatever that they thought was nice, but it was in turn hurting him. One of the news articles I've read, it said, like, basically people were loving him to death. He got tangled in a lot of equipment, and he was also just like harmed by people who didn't know how to interact with the marine mammal. You know, if he just scared you because he's thinking like, oh, this will be fun. And then he's all up on you. You don't know. And you might hurt him. But then in 2023, Hvaldimir, for reasons we don't know, started to head south. And so he started swimming down by Sweden. And that is a long, dangerous swim. It's over 1,000 miles, and people followed his progress, kind of like what you were talking about, how you wanted to have like the...
I forgot about those.
Imagine that. She was all about him. And I swear to God, if one of us would have actually gave her the thing, she probably wouldn't be wearing it now. But
no, I never would have worn it. I would have always just tracked it on my phone.
Oh, okay. See, but right now, if she did that, she'd be like, oh, let me go see where he is.
Literally. I was like, dang, I wonder what they're doing.
That is so scary. Anyway, but it's kind of like that. Like, people were tracking him, and some people were cheering for him. Other people were worried, like, wait, why is he heading down here? Kind of like the anglerfish, where everyone was like, oh, whoa. And then it's like, no, they do that if they're sick.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good sign.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
The anglerfish?
Mm-hmm.
That had the grip on America?
I have no idea. No idea what you're talking about. They do what when they're sick?
Are you kidding me?
No, what? Tell me.
This was the first time that we've like seen an anglerfish above.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do remember that now.
Yeah, and it was like, oh God, I'm going to get sad again. But they were like, he just wanted to see light for the first. It was a woman, I think, anyway. Not a woman. It was a female, I think. But like, she just wanted to see light one time before she died.
Yeah, that's not a thing. And so she went
all the way up. I know, but it was so sweet.
That's definitely not a thing. There's no way that fish even knew that light existed.
Why do you ruin everything?
It's not a thing.
You can't romanticize anything with Carrie. Fuck. Also, I did not know they were small. You know what? Nemo got me scared of those anglerfish, and that I could go ping with my pinky. Anyway, now that Carrie's ruined my mood on the anglerfish, she was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then stomps on my hopes and dreams.
Well, I'm just saying, they don't know it exists.
How do you know? You're not a marine biologist?
But I do know that because I remember that. And I remember people who were marine biologists saying they don't know.
Also, they don't talk to the anglerfish.
Because they're like, they don't have the capacity, the brain capacity to like, think outside themselves like that. That's so fucking meta. A fucking anglerfish can't do that.
How do you know, though?
Because a marine biologist told me so.
No, I don't believe it. You can't tell me that all animals don't have like little souls like that.
I didn't say that. I said that how could they know something existed that they've never seen?
They don't know it exists. He was hoping. She was hoping.
But how do they know what light is if they've never seen light?
She might not have even known that it was light.
How could she have been trying to go towards the light? She just wanted
to go to the other thing. I've never been out there. Haven't you seen freaking Nemo? Haven't you seen Ariel? She wanted to be where the people were.
Okay, well, Ariel's a mermaid, so you know that you can't use that as real life.
Well, I did.
Well, it's not.
But yeah, like, it doesn't matter. It's like, you might not know something exists, but you want to go there.
God.
Y'all, who's the golden retriever and who's the black cat in this relationship? So now, on his journey, he's appearing more in crowded harbors, and everyone knows him, so people are like trying to go up to him more. And the boat traffic was so bad that like he would have gashes on him from being too close to the boat and the motor and everything. One whale started a campaign for them to keep their distance. Like, hey, don't feed him. Don't jump in the water. Like, love him from afar, you know?
Question, though. He doesn't still have the GoPro on, so how do they know it's him?
He's a very distinguished beluga.
Okay, what, does he have a fucking tux on? How's he distinguished?
He's a fine gentleman. Well, one, yeah, belugas are like cool, but he's also like fucking waiting. Dealing cards
he's,
over here.
He's like, hope you find your dad. The narwhal, remember?
He's so different from belugas that like you'd be like, shit, is that Hvaldimir? But people still tried to interact with him. People, you know, did all the things that were bad, but they thought were being good.
Like, no, they were being selfish.
True. Very true. And then in May of 2024, Hvaldimir was found dead in a harbor near Sweden.
Why did you tell this fucking story?
I know. Now, this is where it gets...
This is where it gets fucked up?
No, this is where it gets... Is it a conspiracy? Is it not a conspiracy? But people said his injuries were consistent with being hit by a boat. He was very emaciated. And so they were like, wait, but he had learned how to eat. He, you know, like he,
mm-hmm.
he was doing better. So what happened? Then people said, okay, yeah, those gashes and stuff and like the scars were from the boats before, but it wasn't him being hit by a boat. There were two like little holes in him, like he had been shot. And so they're saying, like, did someone do this on purpose? Like, was it the Russian government? Was it who knows? But then another account came out and said, no. Those were just holes like from boat accidents, from like also like birds pecking at him.
God damn.
And stuff when he had passed.
Oh.
Yeah. And they said the reason why he passed, and this is heartbreaking, is that he got a stick stuck in his mouth and he couldn't eat or drink or anything.
Where'd the fucking stick come from?
I don't know. So did someone like do something to him to have that or what? And so it's just kind of like, was he a spy? And then like they had to shut it down at some point. And it's like, okay, people are still messing with him. Like, what if they learned something about what we've been doing? But also, like, did he escape or did they release him? You know, like, what was it? Who did he belong to? What's all the things? And like, then it's like, wait, who else is out there like Hvaldimir then? Are they really trained for war? Are they like just being dumped after their mission or something like that? It just kind of makes you sit back and think about like, wait, what happens after that? But yeah, so that is about Hvaldimir. We don't know who he was. Well, we know who he was and what he was, but was he a spy? Was he some like beluga whale that like someone just kept and had taught and trained or like had like a SeaWorld experience or something? He escaped. I don't know. But like he obviously wasn't just out in the wild by himself.
Yeah, he wouldn't have survived.
Right. So like, who was he? Where did he come from? And like I said, I thought it was going to be a quirky story about this beluga whale who was a spy whale. And then it turned into a really sad story about how people are selfish. And when people are like, hey, this is harmful, you shouldn't do that, they're still going to do it.
I mean, even look at like cruises and stuff and how just like the coral reef and all of that is, you know, going away and people still like touch it and all of that. And it's like, no, don't touch it. But people are still like, Nemo touched the butt.
Right. Oh, it just is heartbreaking. And I was like, oh, Morgan, this is a great story, like reading it. And then I was like, wait, I mean, I get it, but it's sad. But also it's scary because I never thought of a freaking anything, like any kind of animal being a spy besides like a raven or a hawk. You know, like those are, you know, back in medieval times where they would send the bird shit, you know, send the
literal.
Bird shit. But you know what I mean? Like, what? A beluga whale? How, like, incognito is that, though?
Also, though, okay, so the GoPro It had battery life, question mark?
It didn't have a GoPro on it anymore. It was strapped, like, it was like a GoPro strap. Like, you could see that it had, like, a mount for a camera.
So they got it to do what they wanted it to do and then fucking release it, like, pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, then that was my, that end discussion.
But then other people were like, okay, like, they would really have property of St. Petersburg, like, it's a, you know, like a
KGB, whatever.
Yeah. But then it's like, but why would it not? Like, who knew? Because you wouldn't think it'd be out in the wild either. Like, who's going to be like, let me see what this beluga whale has on it. You know what I mean? So it might have just had it. Who knows? They might have had it from different places around Russia or something. And that's where this whale came from. I don't know. But this is why I can't be an evil overlord. Because I don't think of these insignificant, like incognito shit. I'd be like, ooh, a drone. Like, everyone knows a fucking drone. You know what I mean? These people are like, hey, we could put, like, fucking microphones on love bugs down in the South and figure out this shit. And I'm like,
yeah, well, you came up with something on the cuff right then. That's a good thing. Maybe mosquitoes are all little robots and they're biting us and they're getting our DNA and the aliens.
They're aliens.
And because we're in an experiment and they're just checking to see, like, our blood sugar and shit, see if we're all dying.
You just rocked my world. What if mosquitoes are aliens?
What if we are in an experiment and that's the way they check on us?
So we're, like, in the incubator, kind of, like, we're in the controlled environment, and that's...
No, I think that's just them checking in on us.
What the Truman Show is going on here? Also, do you know how many times they're like, motherfuck, you know how expensive those mosquitoes are? Because we be slapping them and everything else.
And meanwhile, we're like, one down, 10 billion to go.
This was a doozy of an episode, though.
Yeah, yours was sad as shit.
Yeah, and I didn't mean it to be. Blame Morgan.
You should have known. It was a fucking animal. Like, you should have known it was going to be sad.
No, but it was a spy whale. And it was a beluga.
You know what I really want to know? I want, like, a true, good day in the life of people from, like, Russia, North Korea, where it's like, what are the actual people really like? Because you know that they're probably wonderful and great, and, like, you do see some of it more from Russia than from, like, obviously North Korea. But I just want to know, like, what do they think? Like, do they think, like, do they know the perception of the world to them, and, like, do they agree? I mean, we know that they can agree, but do you know what I mean? Like, I want to know. I want to know.
Can someone start a TikTok? Well, now that we've spoken in to where our series could hear it, we probably will see, like, day in the life of.
Right. Well, there are some that's, like, people who have escaped and stuff that it'll be, like, their stories. Well, thank y'all so much for listening. We're 10 episodes away. Well, 9 now from 400.
Holy shit.
Literally to my right while we were recording, I looked up and I saw a card that we had gotten for our 100th episode. Like, how big of a deal the 100th episode was for us, and we're about to hit 400.
I know. I can't believe we're still doing it.
Longest relationships ever.
For real?
Well,
besides it, friendships, but, like...
No, except for me and Candy Crush. True. Candy Crush is... That's the one to beat. Because I'm... You know, it's really my soulmate. But y'all, thank you so much for listening. I know we talk about the cruise and we talk about Patreon, we talk about all that stuff, and not everybody can do those things, but the one thing that everybody can do is to like, subscribe, review all the things, and remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.